Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't, by Brené Brown is a widely discussed book about shame, social expectations, and the hidden pressure to appear perfect. Drawing on Brown's research background and her public work on vulnerability, the book focuses on the way shame thrives in secrecy and silence, especially when people believe they are alone in their struggles. It explores how everyday experiences like parenting, body image, work performance, relationships, and money can become shame triggers when filtered through the lens of what will people think. Rather than offering quick positivity, Brown emphasizes emotional literacy, self-compassion, and honest connection as practical paths out of shame. The central idea is that a sense of worthiness is not earned by performing for approval, but practiced through courage, empathy, and belonging. The book is positioned for readers who want both insight and tools to shift from constant self-monitoring toward a more grounded belief, I am enough. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, understanding shame and how it differs from guilt. A core topic in the book is learning to name shame accurately and separate it from guilt. Guilt tends to focus on behavior, such as I did something wrong, while shame targets identity, such as I am wrong. That distinction matters because guilt can motivate repair, learning, and accountability, whereas shame often drives hiding, people-pleasing, and defensiveness. Brown frames shame as a social emotion tied to belonging, the fear that a mistake, need, or perceived flaw will lead to rejection. When readers understand shame as both common and predictable, it becomes less mysterious and less powerful. The book encourages paying attention to physical cues, thought patterns, and emotional spirals that signal shame, including perfectionism, comparison, and self-criticism. It also highlights that shame is not resolved through willpower or more achievement, since those strategies often reinforce the idea that worth must be proven. By clarifying the mechanics of shame, the book sets up a practical foundation for change. If you can recognize what is happening internally, you can choose responses that protect your dignity and keep you connected to others. Secondly, the power of silence, secrecy, and the stories we tell ourselves. Another major focus is how shame grows when it is kept private and unchallenged. People often carry a quiet belief that everyone else has life figured out, and that their own fears or failures are evidence of inadequacy. In that mental space, the inner narrative becomes harsh and absolute, turning normal human experiences into personal verdicts. Brown explores how secrecy feeds these narratives because it prevents reality testing. When you do not speak about what you are carrying, you cannot discover that others share similar struggles, or that your interpretation is distorted by stress, past experiences, or unrealistic standards. The book emphasizes noticing the internal scripts behind shame, especially the automatic leap from an event to a global conclusion about self-worth. It then points toward a different practice, bringing the experience into the open with safe people, naming what you are feeling, and questioning the story. This is not framed as oversharing with everyone, but as intentional disclosure that breaks isolation. The act of speaking and being met with empathy helps shrink shame and restores a sense of belonging. Thirdly, shame triggers in daily life, perfectionism, comparison, and expectations. The book pays close attention to the everyday arenas where shame shows up most intensely. Instead of treating shame as an abstract concept, Brown connects it to common trigger zones, such as appearance, parenting, work competence, relationships, aging, and money. These areas often carry loaded cultural expectations and conflicting messages. For example, people may be told to be confident but not too confident, successful but always available, attractive but effortless, grateful but never needy. The resulting double binds make it easy to feel like you are failing no matter what you do. Brown also discusses perfectionism and comparison as strategies people use to try to avoid shame, even though they usually make it worse. Perfectionism promises safety through flawlessness, but it increases self-surveillance and makes mistakes feel catastrophic. Comparison can temporarily reassure, but it can also intensify scarcity thinking by focusing attention on what you lack. By mapping these triggers, the book helps readers identify patterns, which topics reliably spark self-doubt, what situations amplify them, and what coping behaviors follow. That clarity supports practical change because you can plan for trigger moments instead of being blindsided by them. Fourthly, building shame resilience. Through empathy and connection, a central solution offered is shame resilience, a skill set for moving through shame without being defined by it. Brown describes empathy as a crucial antidote because shame depends on the fear of disconnection. When someone responds with understanding rather than judgment, the experience becomes survivable and manageable. The book encourages readers to develop the ability to recognize shame triggers, practice critical awareness about cultural messages, reach out to trustworthy people, and speak about needs and feelings with increasing clarity. These steps are not presented as a one-time fix, but as a repeatable process that strengthens with use. The focus on connection is practical. Identify who has earned the right to hear your story, learn what support actually helps, and offer empathy to others without trying to rescue or minimize their experience. The book also highlights that empathy is not agreement, and it does not eliminate accountability. Instead, it creates a relational environment where growth is possible. Over time, practicing shame resilience can reduce impulsive reactions, like withdrawal or anger, and replace them with grounded choices that protect relationships and self-respect. Lastly, from what will people think to I am enough, practicing worthiness. The journey described in the book is a shift from living for external approval to living from an internal sense of worthiness. What will people think often functions like a constant monitoring system that shapes choices, silences honest needs, and encourages image management. Brown argues that the alternative is not selfishness or ignoring feedback, but a healthier relationship with evaluation. You can care about impact and still believe you are inherently worthy. The book points toward practices that cultivate this stance, including self-compassion, realistic expectations, and the willingness to be seen. It also invites readers to notice where they trade authenticity for belonging, and to consider how that trade creates loneliness. Moving toward I am enough involves choosing values-based actions, setting boundaries that protect emotional energy, and allowing imperfection to be part of a meaningful life. The message is not that confidence is constant, but that worthiness can be practiced even when insecurity shows up. By repeatedly naming shame, reaching for connection, and challenging harsh internal narratives, readers can build a steadier identity that is less dependent on performance and more aligned with courage and authenticity. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who feel trapped by perfectionism, people-pleasing, or chronic self-doubt, as well as anyone navigating high-expectation roles such as parenting, leadership, caregiving, or creative work. It is also valuable for people who want a research-informed way to understand why confidence advice sometimes fails and why they keep returning to the fear of judgment. The benefit to a reader's life is practical and relational. Learning to recognize shame patterns can reduce rumination, defensiveness, and isolation, while increasing emotional clarity, healthier boundaries, and more honest connection. Over time, these shifts can improve communication at home and at work because people become less reactive and more able to ask for support, repair conflicts, and stay present under stress. Compared to similar books that rely mainly on motivation or simple affirmations, this one stands out for its focus on naming shame, mapping common triggers, and emphasizing empathy as a repeatable skill. It offers a grounded framework for moving from managing appearances to building resilience and a durable sense of worthiness, making it a strong purchase for readers who want both insight and lasting tools. If you would like to support Brené Brown, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.